General, if we hurry, we can probably be done before Rogers gets here. Can we do that sign ordinance first?
Yeah, we can amend the agenda. Remember, we're at the beginning still.
You all have received a copy of the agenda. In addition to corrections? Don't say anything else about it.
We're sorry, we just voted, no.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
First, under myself, I'd like to suggest deleting legislative issues. I'd like to postpone that till next week.
What was that, Dave? I'm sorry.
Number two, under myself, legislative issues. Just delete that one.
Just wait till the first year. Hell, that'd be all right.
And then I'd like to propose moving executive session, land acquisition, potential litigation after the administrator's report.
Number, you want to go into it and number have your report
before Susan Webb. All right, amended agenda will be delete number two under legislative issues under administrator's report and move the executive session to right under the administrator's report. Executive session. Any questions? I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Jones, second, Mr. Phillips, to approve the amended agenda. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes. Motion's carried. Minutes, 11:27. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
Everybody happy?
Yep.
Motion, Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Phillips, to approve the minutes of November the 27th. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes. Motion's carried. Correspondence, Mr. Griffin.
We've got a few items of correspondence. First, a letter to Mr. Baker from the Greater Lincoln Civic Association informing council that the association has been formed effective November 15, 2007, and the elected officers are President Dave Wilson, Vice President William Warren, Treasurer Richard Hostetler, Secretary Ed Key, Recording Secretary Will Fox, Parliamentarian Raymond Messick, and Liaison to County Council Richard Clendaniel. Our request is be shared and presented to Council for their knowledge and information. The next is a thank you note from Kevin Gilmore, Sussex County Habitat from Humanity, thanking Council for the donation Council made to that program in the amount of $25,000. Next, a memo from Clerk of the Peace George Parrish expressing appreciation for the various services rendered to his office by employees of the county, Bonnie Smith, Tom Glenn, Patty Laurian, George Hunsaker, Sarah Swafford, Brian Vickers, and Jessica Hamanko. And lastly, a thank you card from Councilman Phillips to other members of council, thanking them for their thoughts, prayers, and kindness during this difficult time from the family of Woodrow Phillips. And that's all the correspondence.
Any other correspondence from the council? Okay, Delaware Department of Transportation Enhancement Program.
Yes, we have with us today Mr. Jeff Nizgada, planning supervisor for DelDOT, who asked to be on the agenda to explain the DelDOT Transportation Enhancement Program, and I'll turn it over to Jeff.
Thank you very much. Yeah, again, my name is Jeff Nizgada. I work for the Delaware Department of Transportation, and with me is Marianne Adiah. She works with me at the department as well. I am a planning supervisor for the department, and the program manager for the Transportation Enhancement Program, which is a federally and state-funded program. We get an allotment of federal funds each fiscal year, and then the state puts up a specific amount of money in the program, and then it's a matching fund program, too. So there are additional resources that we obtain outside of the program on the state side. Most of it comes through the transportation, the community transportation funds through legislators, or can come through local municipalities, through general funds that they have, or through in-kind services of resources that we can, or fees that we can associate that with. So with that, and this is something that we want to set up on a yearly basis where we come back to you guys each year, give you an update on where the program is relative to Sussex County. and to talk to you about where the, how the program's got to the point where it has over the last fiscal year. And then also at the end of the presentation, we'll talk to you about all the new projects that we have going on in Sussex County. And just a point of note, if there are any questions you have or specific to program guidelines or how to apply for projects, all that information can be obtained on the DelDOT website under the Transportation Enhancement web link. And at the end of the handout that you got, it shows you how to get to that. So,
put mine in, would you please? Thanks.
Yep. What is Transportation Enhancement, or I like to refer to it as TE because I said it too many times over the course of 11 years. it's a non-traditional projects that typically aren't ones that the department you would envision the Delaware Department of Transportation doing. They're community-based, meaning that it's not a project that we come up with the idea. The community or the state or the municipality, whoever the organization is, comes to us with an idea of a project, and we help them facilitate that project through technical guidance, professional guidance, you know, whatever the case may be. It has to be relative to surface transportation, and it improves cultural, historic, aesthetic, environmental characteristics and communities in which they're built in. So that, in a sense, what it does is it just gives it a sense of oneness or a community, gives them an ability to develop an idea that they might have in their mind that normally monies wouldn't be out there to do. Streetscape enhancements we do a lot of where, there's sidewalks in all areas, but there's not a whole lot of money out there to repair the sidewalks. So we can come in this program and do a lot of sidewalk replacement, repair, in-kind replacement. We can do a lot of decorative lighting, street furniture, a lot of stuff. We've done a lot of projects in Georgetown. And a matter of fact, I think in this presentation you'll see a couple of them that we have done. So, in order to qualify for enhancement funds, a project has to qualify under one of the 12 categories. And just running through these quickly, the first and foremost is bicycle and pedestrian facilities. This is the biggest one that we have that we involve ourselves with. This project slide here is from a greenway trail that we're doing in the city of Milford. It starts on the eastern portion of the city and it runs all the way through to their downtown area. It's really done a lot for economic development in their downtown area. It's really made a lot of connectivity, and we're taking it all the way now to the western portion of Milford out to Goat Island and to picnic areas that they're creating. So this is a project that's been going on for, I'm going to say, 9-10 years. They've done it in phases. We're on phase 21. And it sounds like a lot, but what they've done is they've worked within the monies that they were able to drum up. And again, as I said, it's a matching fund program. So, for a specific amount of money that we were able to give them, they had to come up with some resources. So we worked within the parameters that they were able to attain. So, landscaping and beautification, again, is another project category that qualifies for enhancement funds. It's probably what's our second leading project, where we can do tree restoration, park work. We do a lot with Department of Natural Resources through our park facilities. This is a site of the Georgetown Circle. I worked on that project some years ago. And what's that?
About 9 years ago.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago.
$36,000.
Yeah, it was a really nice project in the irrigation system and everything that was able to put in there. I mean, there's a lot that's underground that people can't really see. I remember the time capsule that we found out there that we didn't actually know was out there, but it's really, really nice project. And so that gives you an idea of one project that would qualify for landscape and beautifications. Establishing transportation museums, again, we do a lot of railroad train station restoration. This one happens to be in Selbyville. To see what that looked like prior to us getting in there, it was amazing. It was like a little shanty or shack that you would find in somebody's backyard, and they had a vision and pictures, and it was amazing. Once the project was approved and we got moving, these guys just came out of the woodwork, and they just had all this knowledge, so we were able to restore that building back to its original appearance, and he did that project for less than $50,000. It was amazing. So, and then a few other ones, abandoned railroad corridors, outdoor advertising, archaeological planning research. These are items that we normally don't get involved in, only because, you know, the state is a small state, and again, we don't go out searching for these projects. We only give the information out there, and then they come to us. So if the projects don't get to us, because the question was brought to my, you know, why don't you do more archaeological planning and research? Well, if the projects were presented to us and they qualified, by all means, we'd look at moving them forward. I'm sorry?
Oh, you got SHPO.
That's why we have SHPO, and they're always there. And that's one, because it's a federally funded program, we have Section 106 in all of our projects. So we are in constant contact with them. And acquisitions of scenic easements, historic highway programs, and historical preservation, again, are three other ones. Over the years and the increased commitment, the program has been in existence since 1993 to present. Over the years, we've got almost $40 million in federal money that we've obtained. State resources are close to $30 million. And then the matching funds are much higher than the other two categories. But the reason being is some of the projects that we have participated in have a lot of other projects. For instance, we helped the Wilmington Western Railroad restore the whole rail line after they were destroyed by the storms they came through. They obtained money through FEMA in the range of about $15 million to assist them. We gave them $1.6 million, so we view it as a total project cost. So that's what really inflates that matching side. Typically, that ranges around 20% of your overall cost. So there are a few projects that we've done over the course of years that have escalated that matching portion. In years past, the state funds that have been contributed to the program have been way up there. They've been $7, $8, $9 million, but now in the new world that we live in, our budgets have been cut drastically to the point of about $850,000 in state money, and then we got $3.6 million in federal money last year. So again, just a slide to kind of indicate how many projects over from 2000 to 2007 we've done about 102 projects. And again, the bike and ped are the main.
Is that all over the state, or is that in just some?
That's all over the state, the entire state, yeah. At the bottom it says, you know, since 1993 we've done relatively about 163 projects, which, in my opinion, is a lot of projects if you consider the size of Delaware. And in comparison to, I go to conferences for manager's conferences, there are some states like Wyoming, Colorado, that haven't even done half of that, you know, since 1993. So we've done a lot. The program used to run a heck of a lot slower than what it does now. We used to take upwards of 3 or 4 years to facilitate a project. We've got it down to where we can do a large scale $750,000 project. We can do a design in about a year, and then follow that right up with, if money's available, follow that right up with the construction cycle. So. But there are a few projects out there that are, you know, a little bit larger. The one point about the enhancement program is Delaware guidelines only allow us to contribute or partner with up to $1 million award. So anything over $1 million the difference would have to come from the sponsor of the contract. And then some examples of some active or completed TE projects in Sussex County. Again, this is probably over the last 5 or 6, 7 years. We're working with the City of Lewis on the Overfalls Lightship Preservation Project. That is just a huge, huge undertaking, and what that association is trying to do with that ship. They have it out for bid right now, but they honestly can't find anybody to take it on, because what they have to do is really create a false shell around the ship in order to put the straps on it to suck it out of the mud, and that's The silt is creating more of a vacuum problem. So they really need to, we suggested that they do interlocking sheet pile and then excavate the muck and break it free of that suction. And then they would have a better chance of getting that thing out of the ground. But they're bound and determined. What's that?
It might be rusted away by the time they get a permit.
the inside of that ship is just phenomenal, though. So the South Bethany York Street project, that's one that has been completed. We worked with the town of South Bethany on that. Fenwick Island Median Enhancement, we helped the town there remove the concrete islands. We did that under landscape beautification. We put the landscaping in there. The community has accepted the maintenance responsibility of that long term, and they do a really nice job with that. Working with the city of Lewis on the Canal Front Park, we gave them $500,000 to facilitate the trail facilities and landscaping within the park. There was a scenic acquisition that we did in Abbott's Pond. We worked with Department of Natural Resources to build the loop trail around Trap Pond about 2 years ago. Dagsboro Sidewalks is one we're working on now. You'll see a little bit more about that in a little bit. Greenwood Sidewalks was a project we worked, again, with the town. Rehoboth Yacht Gateway Improvement we did. Laurel Train Station, Selbyville. The big one that we did on that list is the Mulberry Street project, which was just recently completed within the last year or so. Miss Pillion River Greenway, Georgetown Circle, and the Layton Avenue project, which were...
How many years did you do in 2006?
In 2006?
Yeah, do you know? I mean, is that the overall?
That's probably from 2002 to present. Okay. Yeah. So... And then what I have left is to bring out or explain to you, give you guys an idea of what we're working on and on now. And again, the first and foremost is the train station in Laurel. We worked with the town to facilitate the exterior renovations of the building. And again, we worked within the financial parameters that the town could afford on the matching side of things. Now... We're helping them facilitate a project to renovate the inside of the building to restore it back to some form of a period look that they can get as best as they can. The town is actually administering this project on their own. We're going to give them, well, not give them, we're working with them. We're going to provide technical guidance. We provided an architect that's helping them with contract documents, and then ultimately they'll advertise this project. And our inspecting guys were just tickled to death to hear that. So to have road inspectors out there doing restoration to buildings was a challenge. So, and yeah, they've got, it was a $330,000 award to help them inside. I don't think we're going to use the entire amount. I think it'll be probably considerably less. The town of Dagsboro, we're working with them. It is in a design phase right now. We expect the design to be completed by November or December of this upcoming year. Again, along the main corridor that runs through the town out to the highway, they're improving pedestrian crosswalks, putting decorative, the red, whether we've gone with the real brick or the Duratherm, or not, excuse me, the Jarvis or the other applications that are out there that it looked similar to brick. We haven't actually got it down that far, but there's some sidewalk work that we're doing. Again, the project's being sponsored by the town of Dagsboro, and we have a $600,000 budget to work with on this project. This project went through concept planning. We took it to the community, and the community, as you can imagine, was just tickled to death. Very supportive of the project, and we're working with the town and a consultant, like I said, right now. And we expect that to be done, and then that project will be built during our FY09 budget, as part of our FY09 budget. Town of Delmar, again, it's a streetscape enhancement improvements. We're going to help them do a lot of replacement with their sidewalk. They're doing downtown revitalization now with inside of their business community. This is along Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to put street lighting in there. Again, the decorative crosswalk application, some trees. The first thing we found out when we started working this project is just how much the state actually thought we owned, but we didn't own. The Railroad Association actually owns all the way across a state-maintained road to the face of the building. And over many, many years, the town and the railroad have been trying to negotiate to give the state that, and it's just... never could get done. So we actually, took place. It already has taken place. We've already made that a go. And So the project's, you know, all within state maintained right of ways. And that's a big part of this is we can't, this, in order to be eligible, again, it has to be, the property that we're working on has to be dedicated to public use. So it has to be within public rights of way. This has about a $450,000 budget. Again, it's under design right now. We expect the design to be completed probably by September, October of next year, and then we'll follow that right up with a probably a spring 09 construction. And the town of Georgetown, we're working with on Market Street. We did a project many, many years ago on Market down to basically Layton Avenue, and then we kind of turned the corner and went to the train station. The Georgetown train station was an enhancement project we did some time ago as well. This project actually starts on the east side of the train track and runs to King Street, I believe. Yep. It's not a very long project, but about 700 feet in length, sidewalk improvements. The same footprint that was used on the west end will basically be applied to the east side of the train track, and the lighting, the decorative lighting, and the street ornaments and the landscaping and things like that, sidewalk improvement. So I'm currently working with, I have a designer that's been assigned to this project. We've got a cost worked out for the design of the project, and we're just waiting for Federal Highways to approve the use of the money to get the design underway. So once it is underway, it probably will be a year's design, and then we'll be in calendar year 09 for construction as well. And then we talked about this one before, the Mispillion River Greenway Phase 21. What we're doing now is helping them with a project to span from the mainland to Goat Island with a bridge structure. We're currently working to finalize a scope of work order for design services for the project. The city of Milford actually has an RFP out right now, and I think they've narrowed it down to three firms, and they're going to go through the selection process now. So. And then, as I said, this is our contact information, both Maria's and mine. You know, feel free to call me anytime if you have any questions. And the website information is at the top. And I believe everybody received a handout. If not, let me know, and I'll get one for you. So if you guys have any questions.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Are most of the towns aware? I know you've done a lot of projects in towns, but do you think they're all aware of your program? Or?
Probably Sussex, 7 or 8 years ago, I'd say no. But we have done, a tremendous effort to get the word out there. We've worked with each metropolitan planning organization up in Kent and Newcastle, coming down here now. I think the word's out on the program, and it shows by the amount of applications that we get. So we're doing right now. I have 57 active projects that I'm working on right now in the system. So
good.
That's a lot of work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Basketball game, Dale.
With us tonight, we have Mr. Dwayne Coverdale from Bayball Classic, who's been with us before, who manages the basketball tournament at Cape Town Open High School, which is scheduled for December 26th to December 30th. And he would like to provide us some information about the program this year.
My name is Dwayne Coverdale. I'm the tournament director for the Bayball Classic Invitational. The tournament will run December 26th through the 30th at Cape Hill Open High School. We have 24 teams from roughly 11 states, furthest away being Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, which happens to be my hometown. We are very excited about our field this year. We think we have the best field that we've assembled in, since we started in 2005. We have three nationally ranked teams coming in, and two of them who are very familiar to people that came to Slam Dunk to the Beach, that being Rice High School from New York, who is currently ranked 11th in the country, and Christ the King High School in New York, who is currently ranked 28th in the country. We are very excited to have those two programs here. They're legendary programs, along with one of the top teams from D.C., one of the best teams from Baltimore, the top team from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, one of the top programs in the state of Massachusetts. And then we got a couple of teams from Pennsylvania, about six teams from Maryland, and I'm just talking off the top of my head. And most importantly, we have eight teams from the state of Delaware, two from Sussex County, who we feel are the two best programs in Sussex County right now, that being Cape Henlopen and Woodbridge High School, who, if you don't know about their program right now, it is really, really doing well, and they're going to do some big things this year. We also have six other teams from upstate, and one of the things that we are doing that, and if you include Slam Dunk, hasn't happened in about 6 or 7 years, is we are putting a Delaware team in the national bracket. Caravelle Academy out of Bear will participate in the national bracket. They will play Christ the King High School out of New York. That hasn't happened in a while. We have been very careful about, you know, selecting teams to play in that bracket. We think that Caravelle can go in there and be competitive and possibly win the thing. So we are very excited about that and being able to publicize having a Delaware team in a national bracket. A couple of the other things we've done in the past, we have awarded grants to every Delaware team that has participated in this event over the last 2 years. In the neighborhood of $1,200. We plan on doing that again this year. And we have a scholarship program in place, and the information is online on our website, www.bayballclassic.org. The application, everything is on that website. All of the information you need, you can go in there and look at it. We will award three $2,000 scholarships in the spring to non-athletes for college. So we feel that we have the event going in the right direction. We feel that we have answered some of the concerns that were brought up in the past, you know, with Slam Dunk to the Beach. We know we're under the microscope. We know there are things expected of us to be successful. We are committed to making that happen. And the last thing is, this is a very expensive event. But I would say off the top of my head, 70% of the money that is spent to run this event goes back into this county, especially into the Lewis-Rehoboth community. For example, Slam Dunk to the Beach used to feed the teams at Cape Henlopen High School. We give the teams meal allowances so they can go to the restaurants in the communities and spend their money there. We feel that, number one, it's easier for us, and number two, it generates businesses for the restaurants that they didn't get in the past. We scaled down to 24 teams from 33 in 2005. We went back to a 5-day format where we had 4 days last year because we felt that we were finishing games way too late. And we wanted to give spectators the opportunity to go out into the Rehoboth Lewis area and shop, you know, sightsee or whatever. So our last games are scheduled to start at 7:30 every day. And if we stay on schedule, and we normally do a pretty good job of staying on schedule. So we feel that that will give the businesses the opportunities to be successful. We have also targeted teams that have strong followings, even the out-of-state teams. Pensbury High School has a very strong following. They're capable of bringing 400 or 500 people to a game. Lower Merion High School, where Kobe Bryant went to high school, is the same way. They also have a big rivalry, and they're going to play against each other in our venue, their first game. Linden High School out of New Jersey went up to a tournament in Maine and took 300 people with them. So we're hoping that we'll at least get that, since we're a lot closer to Linden, New Jersey than Maine is. They are very excited to come here, and We've been getting a lot of calls about hotel information and things of that nature. So we feel that we are addressing the needs and the concerns of our event. We want to keep it going, and we also want to thank the county for their support in the past and now, and to let you know that your money is going to good use. Any questions?
I haven't seen much advertisement going around. Are you?
We are going to do a press conference early next week. We actually felt that we did our press conference too early last year. We did it in October, and we really feel that people forgot about the event. And that's why we decided to wait to do it later on. And the other thing is we're not selling advance tickets. All our tickets will be sold at the door. So we felt that it would be best to kind of do it more at the last minute. And finally, we did have some issues with teams and scheduling. Running an event like this can be tough, especially when you start having games on Sundays. There are several states that do not allow their teams to play on Sundays. We had to do a lot of maneuvering to make this work and play these games on Sundays. And we also had a couple of teams that had committed that had to bail out for various reasons. And I didn't want to do a press conference until I had all of my teams in place and until our schedule was firm. And that has happened now. So you will be hearing about us heavily for the next 2 weeks.
That's cool.
Okay. Your ticket prices, could you explain about that?
Same as last year, which is very reasonable. A week pass will be $15 and a day pass will be $5 a day.
It's cheap enough. For real.
We have budgeted monies in the budget for a grant, and the way we've done what we've done in the past is work through the Delaware Community Foundation. And I've talked to Mr. Hugh Leahy from the Delaware Community Foundation, and they will do that again for us to monitor the expenditures and whatnot, and give us a report. So, and that's
great. That is another thing we've done. All of our money goes through the Delaware Community Foundation so that we can have a watchdog to monitor. So accountability is there.
Excellent.
Good idea.
Yep. Keeps everybody happy. Fantastic. Well, I hope you have a successful tour.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Dwayne. Okay, the next item is the administrator's report, and we have a couple items. First, Caroline on the survey.